Last January, a website called NM Fishbowl published the explosive results of a public records request for anonymous exit interviews of athletes at the University of New Mexico, Lobos players, who compete mainly in the Division I Mountain West Conference, said that sports had held them back in their studies. Coaches had mocked female athletes' weights, they said, and the athletic department provided unsafe transportation to events for lower-profile teams. The football coach, Bob Davey, who is credited with writing a losing team, quote, has no personal relationship with players, one athlete said. And the months after its scoop, NM Fishbowl, which bills itself as watchdogging the Lobos, continued to break damaging news about the athletic department. It reported that the state government had placed the department under enhanced oversight. It revealed that the university was investigating whether Davey had mistreated players. It suggested the former basketball coach, Craig Neal, had owed his continued employment in part to his friendship with the state's governor. The interesting thing about this is that the website, NM Fishbowl, that's doing this, has one employee, if you will. It's an unpaid position by a guy who lives downtown Chicago.
What?
And he's just like noodling around finding this stuff and writing about it all by his lonesome. He's a former political writer for Politico, so I guess he and CNBC knows a little bit about the business, but what a fascinating thing you are, Daniel Libet. Welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, John.
They won't even let you in New Mexico. That's why you're doing this here.
It certainly helps being, whatever, 1,500, 2,000 miles away.
Everything right that I've said so far?
So far, so good, yeah.
Why are you, what's your interest in the University of New Mexico?
I'm from New Mexico. I was born and raised in Albuquerque, and it was the devil I know for a project I wanted to explore. I wanted to cover college sports, and I wanted to cover college sports like I would cover politics, like I would cover politics as an investigative reporter.
You wrote about the Trump candidacy and politics from the Midwest for a while.
Yeah, I've been in Chicago since 2010. I covered the Obama presidency for a while. I was a contributing writer for National Journal and CNBC, and I was a staff writer for the now defunct News Corp iPad publication, The Daily. So when Obama was in office, it was quite relevant geographically to be here. His campaign obviously was here.
But when you were thinking, okay, but I want to write about Lobos sports, the University of New Mexico, did you know something was amiss? Like, oh boy, I better turn my skills on that university.
No, my first inclination, I'm a graduate of the University of Wisconsin, but my first inclination was actually to go and do this, set up shop and noodle around in my alma mater and kind of eat my own. But the though I went to school there, I actually am not terribly familiar with the athletics department there. And so I was a Lobo fan growing up, a University of New Mexico fan growing up, because it's my hometown team. And I figured this would be, at least I knew who the coaches were, at least I knew who the people were.
Are you telling me you got lucky? That is, you decided, okay, I'm not going to do UW, that doesn't interest me, but New Mexico does. But it could have been the University of Illinois. And so you said, well, let me see what I can find out, and then stuff started to percolate up?
The supposition was I could do this anywhere, and I would find a bunch of stuff. This is a sort of philosophy about college athletics that I have, that there's something very discordant about this whole world of college sports, and we've seen this in the headlines over the last month. And so what made New Mexico particularly interesting was that there wasn't a known scandal. This wasn't a place that was known to be corrupt.
I was going to say, you could have written about Louisville, but maybe that would be too easy, right?
I mean, my argument was you could do this anywhere. I mean, what was interesting about New Mexico is it's a poor state, it's a poor university, and it's a school that is trying to prop up a Division I athletics department without a ton of means. So all of the missteps they make, all of the wasted funds they spend, come out in much kind of clearer and starker relief than, let's say, a large athletics department.
So that explains the sentence that I highlighted in the New York Times story. I'll read it to you. This is from a journalist in New Mexico who writes about the Lobos from Albuquerque. He said, people who think that he's agenda-driven, I don't necessarily think they're wrong. But I also don't necessarily know that that is wrong. What an interesting quote, right? But so your agenda, it's, if I may, sounds like it was, I'm just going to go ahead and muckrake on you, University of New Mexico, as if that's a virtue in its own right. To discover and reveal this stuff is sure not a bad thing.
Right, and this sort of touches on larger themes about what it means to be objective as a journalist, because I get this a lot. They say, well, you're obviously coming at it with such hostility. Can you be objective? And my response normally to that question is, think about just the straightforward coverage of college athletics and how many philosophical biases are implicit in that. Merely the fact that the newspaper would put on a front page the successes of an athletics department is conferring a lot of affirmation towards the whole institution of college sports. So the straightforward coverage of college athletics is itself riddled with biases, and I think ones that are somewhat intellectually unwise. And so, yeah, I'm certainly coming from it with a level of contempt and hostility, but I think that there's good reason for journalists to like really dig into, you know, the whole construct of college sports.
Is that true for pro sports too, or is this more problematic for the NCAA?
My issues are more relevant to college sports because of how they're intertwined with public institutions of higher learning. There's certainly issues, civic issues in pro sports that deserve.
But you're saying, okay, because if I may, because this town loves to beat up on the Chicago Bears, right? They're a terribly run organization. The Bulls, too, maybe for that matter, right? And they haven't been doing well lately, and I don't read much good press about them. So I don't see the bias there. But do you think there's an inherent bias in mainstream media to sort of confer positive things on these universities?
I think so. I think most of the time there's a, when we're talking about pro sports, I think there's a natural, first of all, pro sports towns tends to be larger cities with more robust media markets. And so there's more competition and perhaps more talent covering those entities. The other thing is, I think the pro sports fan is more geared towards being a cynic in a way that the college sports fan is geared towards being an apologist.
So if this was in Champaign-Urbana, smaller market, less robust, I think there's some great journalists down there, but just less robust journalism by function of its size, it would be looked on as, why are you beating up our beloved Illini, right?
Yeah, and that's a good example, because the University of Illinois athletics department has been a joke in recent years, and they've paid out tons of buyout money, and they've had huge, huge financial issues with their department that have sort of gone, I wouldn't say overlooked, but they, you know, it's been, people have been, journalism has been late to catch up with it in a lot of ways.
So you said, all right, I'll let's see if this theory of mine is true, and lo and behold, New Mexico drops what in your lap? What was the first time you go, wow, it's working, I'm onto something?
Well, sort of like a murderer's row here. We have the athletics director resigned under duress. There is two state government investigations now into the athletics department. Three state government investigations into the athletics department. The head basketball coach was fired. The naming rights agreement to the basketball arena went kaput, and all this happened not simply just because I was doing it, but since I started doing this website about a year ago.
Have they reached out to you?
No, they're more trying to avoid me. Yeah. It seems to be their tactic.
I wonder what other journalists think about you too. That is, wait a minute, this guy's doing it on his own. What are we doing here at the Albuquerque Journal Sentinel or whatever the paper is?
The Albuquerque Journal, very close.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's a small market. You know, it's a small media market. It's a, you know, there's been a lot of layoffs. There's not a ton of money for reporting there. But yeah, I mean, part of the secondary aspect of this was to sort of embarrass those in the local market who I feel like aren't kind of standing up to cover something.
Really, that's what you're also, not only are you trying to embarrass the universities, you're actually firing a shot across the bow of journalists too?
Yeah, because I think, you know, despite the fact that there's not a lot of resources in place, there's still entities, there are still some resources in place. And I think I'm trying in a secondary way is to sort of serve as a wake-up call for reporters who cover college sports, who claim to do so as journalists, not merely entertainment reporters, but who merely just cover the on-the-field aspects of these
games. Yeah, right. But nobody's asking you to write a nice story about the kid who's a freshman, came from a broken neighborhood, and now he's actually making big plays for the team. That's a nice, true, feel-good story. Are you interested in that?
I'm interested in general and feel good stories. The archetype you just described, I tend to wince at, which is the
Mitch Albomanization of journalism.
Yes, the trying to tie on field performance with somebody's heart trending personal story.
Why? Why do you not like that story?
I think it's a conceit more often than it is true to the stories. And that these stories exist. And again, I'm all for positive and interesting and sort of heartwarming stories. But yeah, I feel more often than not when it comes to sports in general, and particularly college sports, these become tropes.
You know, your problem, is that you don't like sports.
No, that's not true.
I love
sports.
You do not like sports enough. Why are you crapping in the bed? Why are you, as the new saying goes, why aren't you?
Why am I not getting with the program? No, I actually am, I'm a huge sports fan, and I'm not coming from the perspective of some sort of egghead dilettante who doesn't think anybody should be making money or playing athletics. I love sports. I love basketball. I love football. But you know, sometimes you have to look at your own child and be a little scrutinizing of it.
You know what is also interesting to me? We'll pause here. I want you to talk about this in just a minute. In our studio is Daniel Libet. I describe you as a sort of self-employed muckraking journalist. Would you agree with that?
I'm a self-employed muckraking something or other.
Who is a native New Mexican, but lives in Chicago, but has sure stirred things up in New Mexico for this website, blog, would you describe it as?
Yeah, blog.
That he posts here from Chicago about there. But could you have done it about something outside the sports realm? And talk to me a little bit about the empowerment that an individual has. We see so much crap out there that individuals are putting out, but look what you're doing. Talk to me about how you're able to do all of this in a minute. In our studio is one Daniel Libet, What did we decide that you are again? A blogger?
I'll say reporter.
A reporter who, on his own, has sort of blown the lid off of several stories at the University of New Mexico. The funny thing is that he's just doing it on his own. Nobody's paying him to do it from his condo here in Chicago. He's a trained journalist, but he isn't working with the resources of a major operation. He's doing it with a laptop. Is that right? Are you essentially doing this on your own?
I'm doing this entirely on my own, yes.
With a laptop?
With a laptop.
You got a printer?
I do. Well, but we're an online publication, so I'm not printing my own product.
And by we, you mean you, right?
The royalist of we's.
What does your wife say about all of this?
She humors me.
What do you mean?
She's very supportive, even though at times I think she didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Well, is she like, honey, do we really need this? I mean, has there been any backlash to you, or are you inadvertently preoccupied with something that really doesn't have any bearing on your life in Chicago?
It certainly doesn't have any bearing on my life in Chicago, but I got to say, I've been a working journalist for 15 years, and this is by far the most gratifying thing I've ever done.
You have sufficient means now. The article, I think, refers to some inheritance, so you don't have to work every day, so you can do this on your own.
At some point, I should probably earn a paycheck.
At least your wife works, though, so you got medical insurance, right?
That's right.
Is that as fun as it sounds? Is that as awesome an existence as it sounds to me?
Yeah, I mean, merely being able to do something that you're passionate about, certainly with whatever freedoms you can have with it, is a luxury.
And maybe you're actually, therefore, able to devote more resources individually than I would as an employee of WGN Radio. I mean, you don't have to worry about much else. You can just do this. How many hours a week will you throw at this sometimes?
I mean, for the most part, I mean, I have a very nice boss who gives me breaks. But for the most part, this makes up like a full a work week.
And isn't it interesting that as much crap is generated by individuals, misinformation, fake news, propaganda on the internet to sway an election, whatever. I mean, I'm not really going there, but isn't it fascinating that just for the purpose of discovering information and disseminating it, look what an individual can do.
Right. And I also think, I mean, so I was covering Washington, D.C. and national politics, and we were talking off air a little bit about this. At a certain point after last election, I just felt like journalistically, there wasn't much I could do from Chicago with the current administration. It just felt like I was too far removed from the national political story. And so this was a good time to try something different. And I was joking with a journalist buddy of mine who said, you know, everybody in D.C. is like a bunch of youth soccer players were all chasing the same ball, kicking each other in the, kicking each other in the shins. And so, you know, there's this That's wide true. Berth of stories out in the rest of the country, not to say that we don't need to commit all attentional resources towards the story in Washington, D.C., but there's all these other stories out there that get overlooked. And if you, if you commit time and energy, you can find some interesting things even in places that are not necessarily as relevant as the fate of mankind.
And I think that what's happening in Washington, D.C., nationally, but the stories that are coming on CNN and MSNBC and the Huffington Post and Drudge Report, left and right and center, I think you're right. They're all starting to report on things that either aren't so important or on each other. After General Kelly spoke or Trump spoke recently, CNN on its front page had 9 most amazing things Trump said in that speech. And it looked like clickbait. And I just thought, really, is this really advancing our understanding of anything? Or is this you guys just competing? And is the tone of this story straight up journalism, or is it bordering on advocacy? And I'm really worrying about that for CNN's sake.
Well, yeah, I think those are valid concerns, and I think just that constant balance between journalism as a public good and journalism as a very needy business is something that it's difficult for the individual journalist to try to reconcile on a daily basis. And we're doing a lot of stuff that doesn't necessarily help the country.
I got to go. But, I mean, could you do this then on something else? Suppose the New Mexico story sort of fades and you want to do something else. Could you take on puppy mills or the search for Sasquatch or you know, the watch industry, which is corrupt? I mean, could you just pick another random target and make it go?
Yeah, and I think at some point I'm going to tie a bow on this and call the day with New Mexico Athletics and do something else. Yeah, I like the idea of being sort of a mercenary investigative reporter.
Yeah. Well, keep doing what you're doing. Don't write about radio. Or maybe do. Maybe you would make my life better. I don't know. Who knows, right?
I'll keep it in mind.
Don't. Daniel Libet is in our studio. And you can. And by the way, if I want to read your stuff, how many people follow you then?
Several thousand now, regularly. And some of the stories get quite a bit more than that. The website is nmfishbowl.com, NM like New Mexico.
Yeah, and that's a story unto itself. If you want to read more about it, go to the New York Times story. The blogger who became one university's scold in the New York Times, and his site is nmfishbowl.com.